Hi Team Value, JJ here, welcome back. We're really following on from my previous video where we looked at Fundstrat's Tom Lee predicting what he thinks is going to happen with the markets, which I really don't think it's a good idea, predicting the macro, predicting markets from day to day, week to week, and also margin loans, some all-time highs for margin loans. So what does that mean for markets? We'll have a look at that. So let's get into it.
Tom, you've been good about taking things like, say, a job print or CPI and arguing that it's an opportunity if there is a dip. Is it a harder call when it does involve geopolitics?
It's definitely a harder call because the scope of the path this escalation can take place is unknown. But at the same time, we can look at sort of past episodes and past war instances or conflicts and understand how markets react and where positioning is. And I think that's what's giving us some confidence today that there's a lot less leverage now.
I think that's right about conflict. If we look back in the history of markets over the very long term, through wars and through different situations, over the long term, markets have gone up. But he tends to predict very short term. You know, they have them on week to week, so you really can't tell. It's really difficult. In the short term, it definitely could go down if, you know, people get scared. There's a lot of fear around, and the markets have been on a very good run, it has to be said, driven by AI. Tech stocks have had a very good year so far. So a pullback wouldn't be surprising, but he seems to think that throughout the year it's going to have a good year. Impossible to predict. He talks about leverage being lower there, which is interesting that he said that. We're going to look at another clip where somebody's quite more bearish about the market.
And I think the Fed's in a very different position where the Fed could be supportive. And that's why I think, as uncertain as it feels right now, I think this dip will be bought.
Does it create downside risk for your year-end target, let's say?
I think when you move beyond the one-month, even three-month, or even six-month timeframes, I don't think that these actually affect the trajectory because, you know, the drivers of our year-end target are this recovery in corporate profits, you know, the upturn in business confidence measured by ISM, the fact that consumer leverage is still quite low, and that monetary policy is actually supportive of the business cycle. So I think these things all are still at play between now and year end. And, you know, I think our 5,200 target is actually too low, but I think it's still too early for us to raise our target as well.
5,200. My last video was about Tom Lee, who's known as a perma bull. He said in that video 5,600 to 5,700. So he's changing his tune day to day, really, unless he misspoke there. Obviously, day to day geopolitics with a war. And the Fed came out with this just during the last session. Powell signals high rates for longer due to persistent inflation. Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said, "Recent inflation data have indicated it will likely take longer for the central bank to attain the confidence needed to lower interest rates." Powell said Tuesday that it's appropriate to give the Fed's restrictive policy further time to work. So that implies that there's not going to be a rate cut or it's going to be longer. You know, we've gone from 6 rate cuts in the year that people have said will happen to, you know, maybe 1, maybe 2. Larry Summers said he wouldn't be surprised if it gets put out longer, or even if there's a rate rise instead of a cut. So, you know, Tom Lee, this is the problem I have with him day to day. He can be trusted to be bullish on even the short term.
I read your note over the weekend. I cited it. A lot of it does rest on this idea that the Fed is in a very different mode. And as you referenced, they're sort of in easing mode. But the story, Tom, has been that they are not going to be able to ease so easily or so quickly. And today's retail sales data only adds fuel to that fire. So I do wonder how much of your thesis depends on the Fed cutting this year.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, I think it's important for the Fed to be dovish this year. And in terms of how many cuts they do, I know there's going to be a lot of debate about, well, is it 3 cuts or is it 2 or 1?
Or none.
But it's really going to be the reasons why they make fewer cuts. If the economy is resilient and inflation is not accelerating, so they end up doing even as little as 0 cuts, that's actually quite bullish because, one, the Fed still has a lot of firepower to make future cuts, and it just shows you the economy is handling higher rates pretty well. I mean, I think it would speak really well for equities if the Fed made fewer cuts, but for the right reasons.
As I said in the previous video, the market does seem to be handling rate rises quite well. There was a big shock to begin with when rates started rising, inflation was too high, but market seems to be getting used to it. It's actually the war and geopolitical tensions that seem to be sending the market down. But, you know, obviously the Fed coming out saying higher for longer, higher rates for longer hasn't really helped. But it's been pretty volatile in the past week. But is Tom Lee going to be right about the market being higher towards the end of the year? I say it's a fool's game to try and predict the macro and invest based on that. It's sort of fun to speculate and interesting. And that's why, you know, finance media has these people on to predict all the time. But it really is impossible to predict. This is what Warren Buffett often says. You know, you can't invest based on predictions in the macro. A lot of great investors have said that. In certain cases, like Stan Druckenmiller, as I've said before as well, who does look at the macro, and he was taught really by George Soros, but they can change their trades from week to week, day to day, even change their mind. But they have been very successful based on macro, but so few people in the world can do that. Now, if you're getting value out of this episode so far, I'd really appreciate it if you managed to smash that like button to help the algorithm to spread it to more people, because that's what we want. Thanks.
Thomas Peterffy, founder and chairman at Interactive Brokers. Thomas, good to see you. So tell me, how much did higher rates actually help when I'm looking at net interest income here, and also customers' willingness to get out there in risk and do some margin trading?
Well, we had a terrific quarter. Our revenues are all-time high, over $1.2 billion. And our pre-tax profits are also at all-time high.
And then specifically on the customer margin loans, the credit balances, what sort of behavior are you seeing from your customers when it comes to risk in these markets where people seem to be excited about the continuing strength in the economy and what that suggests for equities?
Yeah, so margin loans, you may think of this as a warning sign. Margin loans were up 30% at $51.2 billion, which is an all-time high. And that usually is, you know, it usually foretells a market that is going to slow down. And so that's what we're probably going to be seeing.
Wow. All-time high margin loans. That's interesting to see. This is from, you know, the chair of Interactive Brokers, which I do use and link in the description there to Interactive Brokers. So this is somebody from inside one of the big brokers, you know, saying that it's a warning sign. And that's contrasting with Tom Lee, who says that it's a buy the dip opportunity.
Average number of trades were 2.35 million trades a day, which is very high. And customer accounts grew up 25%, and customer equity goes up 36%. But that is, of course, at the end of the quarter. So since that time, we have seen a downturn in the market. So these numbers right now would be somewhat lower. I'm not saying that customer account growth is going to go down. It probably will not. But
you would never want to say that customer growth is going to go down, but 25% is pretty good. And I've seen a lot on YouTube. A lot of YouTubers are, you know, into Robinhood and you're talking about Robinhood being the growth company, but Interactive Brokers is one of their competitors, and could say that maybe it's for a more sophisticated audience, but that is pretty good growth.
Margin loans usually go down, although this time, even though the market has been down for several days this week and last week, margin loans hasn't really come down much.
So margin loans still elevated. There hasn't been much of a change, even with these sessions of, you know, pullbacks. He's not seeing a change in that so far.
You've also in the past talked about being acquisitive and the possibility of M&A. Is that still on the table?
Well, that is on the table, but, you know, we don't see anything at a reasonable price yet. But should the market really go down, I think opportunities will emerge.
He's talking like a value investor there, you know, waiting for the market to go down for acquisitions. Obviously, you want to get acquisitions for cheap rather than expensive. Some companies have made very expensive acquisitions.
So if you have a lot of cash on your hands, that's always a good situation to be in.
I want to go back to what you said about this level of margin trading being a bit toppy. How does this compare to what we saw a couple years ago? It was a bit toppy. Why do you think? What are the other signals that you're seeing that suggest to you that we might be in for a breather or a sustained dip in what equities do?
So I generally get the feeling that the market is somewhat exhausted. Margin loans keep rising, and that's never a bullish sign. And we saw that 2 years ago, margin loans hit a high, an all-time high, right before the market collapsed.
All right.
That's a possibility.
And the market did pull back. We had that bear market in 2022, especially for tech stocks. He said margin loans were really high then, and they're high again, which is a warning sign. Such a different outlook from Tom Lee, who's looking at buying the dip opportunity. Thomas Petefi's not necessarily saying that's not going to happen. He's just sort of putting out a warning that, you know, that high margin loans are usually a warning sign for markets.
Although I think that on the long run, the market is going to rise because I think inflation is going to rise. And I don't think interest rates will come down much. They may come down a little bit, but I think 5% looking forward is probably a good guess.
Well, that's interesting. Even with high inflation and higher interest rates from previous years, he's saying that the market still could go up. Now, speaking of Interactive Brokers, this is my small and mid-cap portfolio on Interactive Brokers, mostly small cap, vast majority small cap. And we can see here that the S&P 500 has 6.12% as of the 15th of April, and this portfolio is 30.8%, so significantly outperforming, which I'm really pleased about. And going back a year, because year-to-date isn't very long, going back a year, you know, the S&P 500 is 21.4% as of the 15th of April, and the portfolio is 45.36%. So really happy with that performance. I talk about my portfolio over on the Art of Value Patreon. If you haven't checked that out already, I do not give stock tips, but I do talk about the stocks I'm researching, the stocks I own, and it's more about the process of investing over there. You should do your own work, and that's what it's about. I talk about the analysis and research of stocks over there. So if you're interested in that, I'll put a link in the description and see you over there. Now, if you're watching this video on YouTube, I'm going to put two links here, one to that previous Tom Lee video. I'll put a link in the description as well for others, and also a link to a video that YouTube thinks that you in particular should watch next. So go and see either of those now if you want to. And thanks to everybody for watching or listening wherever you're doing that, and I'll see you in the next one.